kicking off Flashpoints today with host Dennis Bernstein. It's a special post-election edition with award-winning filmmaker, columnist, and author John Pilger. At 11 today on Between the Covers, Dan Johnson sits down with author Buzz Bernard to discuss his latest thriller, Cascadia, a novel that imagines the effects of a major earthquake and tsunami in Oregon. And at 11:30, SW Concert hosts Words and Pictures, conversations with pioneering animators and comic artists. But stick around. Up next, it's Air Cascadia with Chris Andre. Hey, thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Aftermath, part of the Brown Paper series produced by Triangle Productions. The play runs November 28th at 7 p.m. at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza in Portland. In Mary Burrell's 1919 one-act, John Thornton, a young black soldier who has served his country in World War I, comes home to rural South Carolina. His homecoming is disrupted when he learns that someone close to him has been lynched by a white mob. Again, that's Aftermath, produced by Triangle Productions, November 28th at 7 p.m. at The Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, November 11th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Okay, well, it's day two, and don't forget that, Trump has not actually been inaugurated yet, but then we didn't actually have an election. We had what could be termed an auction, though it would be perhaps more accurate under a democracy. When you've got democracy, in other words, government by the people, then citizens vote, and that's an election, and it's the election that littles our this 10 years of our children are filled with the mythology of the great American election. People around the world have been attempting to defend themselves from American democracy with sticks and rocks. Well, whenever they can find any sticks still standing and any rocks that haven't been blown to sand. That's democracy as the rest of the world experiences it. As far as voters, as far as citizenship, the rest of the world long ago has observed and concluded that Americans amongst the citizens of industrialized nations are perhaps the stupidest the world has ever seen. And indeed, I can understand, unfortunately, their understanding of weaponry ends at sticks and rocks. So their perception is that they're fighting the rest of the world, bringing them democracy at the end of a stick. Imagery I leave to the listener. That said, we've got a couple of guests today. We've got some weather also. Nick Cady with Cascadia Wildlands is joining us with some news about here at Cascadia, right here where we live. Let me point out, though, that if this Trump presidency fiasco does in fact go through and the man is inaugurated, then according to the New York Times, this is a headline of the business section today, in Trump's crosshairs, federal regulations. You know what that means? It means that the malheur occupiers, we all remember them, right? They got their bum shipped back to Nevada where they're going to stand trial on some real charges instead of some ridiculous, hopeless little child charges. We are children, really. I mean, look at us. T-shirts, shorts, sneakers, dressed like children, think like children, behave like children. We've created a terrible mess. The grown-ups are not going to show up and save us from ourselves. No, not this time. And just to finish up that thought on this recent, what the press referred to as an election, for which any moron can see was bore no resemblance whatsoever to an actual election. I mean, they had the elections in Iraq. Oh, more like real elections. But then after all, they got it fresh off the press from us at the end of a stick, right? We brought them democracy. And look what happened. We're at the farthest frontier of democracy now in this country. And look what is happening now. They do say that people get the government they deserve. What do we have in place of elections? We've got auctions. Yeah, sure, that's right. It's being auctioned off. I kept hoping that somewhere a hand in the back row would go up and it would be Tim DeChristopher bidding on the American presidency. Now that we have got through that rant, let's take a look at some weather. Partly sunny today, with a high around 62. And let's see, tonight we get our lows around 52, and the word from the high tower is that it's going to cloud over. Tomorrow, rain likely, cloudy and high around 61, and for Friday night, chance of rain and low around 52. Just doesn't get out of that 51-52 niche. And I have harsh words for people who think that this is lovely weather that we're having. If you think this is lovely weather, then you don't know what November should be like in the Pacific Northwest. And if you don't, you should probably go back wherever you came from. That's a horrible thing to say. And wow, am I going to get some flame from that. But this is not what November should look like. It should be clear. It should be crisp and bright instead of a deadly sort of sticky, wet. This is more like a death rattle than November. Nick, good morning. Thank you so much. Our guest today is Nick Cady with Cascadia Wildlands, and we're so glad to have you aboard today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, so I got a press release and from you, from Cascadia Wildlands, and I thought, this is definitely Air Cascadia listener material. We need to talk about this. We need to let people know because, the news from D.C. is certainly very bad. We have to remind ourselves it wasn't an election, it was an auction. And the same fate that befell Tim DeChristopher when he bid at an auction will befall this lot, this clown posse. We'll see what happens. But let's talk about this press release. Do you want to just like bring people up to speed on what we're talking about here?
Well, yeah, the press release that went out today is that the National Forest, the Forest Service in Region 6 and for the Northwest Forest Plan area is redoing all of the forest plans for our national forests in this region. And they're just beginning kind of a scientific review process.
But, oh, good, as opposed to the last forest plan they had, which was stunningly devoid of science. sorry.
Yeah, and so what? No, you're absolutely correct. But I think it's kind of important this time. I think people are taking into account climate change and some other critically important things that were left completely out the last time they developed these forest plans. But in the context of this recent election, it's incredibly problematic. And so it's important that people get involved early in these plan revision processes. Otherwise, we are certainly going to end up with horrible, horrible management plans for millions and millions of acres in Western Oregon and Washington and Northern California.
A question here. Yeah, given the fact that federal regulations are going to be significantly, hogtied, would be a good word, federal regulations when it comes to when applied in the name of good laws of a good forest plan can be enormously helpful because they're federal, they apply to everywhere. So given that federal regulations are going to see some significant curtailing, what is a forest plan likely to look like, and would a Trump presidency have what effect would a Trump presidency likely have on the eventual plan?
Well, yeah, it is incredibly worrisome. We're hopeful that this forest plan revision process is going to last for 5 or 6 years and hopefully outlast the Trump presidency and whoever they put in to run these agencies. But it is an incredibly worrisome prospect. And I think it's critical that kind of our communities start rebuilding kind of a forest movement that's somewhat slowed and now is even more critical than necessary.
So what would you figure the most important elements of a new forest plan? What would you like to see?
Well, currently we have the Northwest Forest Plan, which was put forward by Bill Clinton's presidency. And, you know, it wasn't perfect. As you mentioned earlier, there were a lot of areas where, you know, like climate change that weren't addressed at all, but it did set aside certain areas that were permanently protected for old growth. It protected a lot of different endangered species. It had provisions for surveying for rare species, and it had really strong protections for water, water that provides our drinking water to like almost all the communities in Oregon and the rural communities and even, you know, some of the major cities. We're all drawing our drinking water from these forest watersheds. And I think the big push is to remove all those protections, or the vast majority of those protections, for rivers and the watersheds where these forests are.
I want to, we're pretty much down to the line here. We've got about a minute and a half left. So I want to make sure we talk briefly about A, drought, and B, plans like Nestle's to tap out what the water of in that the salmon rely on as spawning streams, both near and far. Will a forest plan, what effect might that have, and might it possibly be invoked to protect streams and rivers and to keep the water temperatures low enough so that salmon can survive?
You know, water policy across the West is just, in so many cases, you know, the left hand has no idea what the right hand is doing. It's terribly unorganized. It's not resilient to withstand. As we've seen with salmon numbers, if there's a hot summer, there's incredible amounts of mortality, and the system is not built to withstand climate change. And
so
the
forest plan, we're just about out of time. I just want to ask if a new RISE Northwest Forest Plan might include protections that would have a beneficial effect on salmon. Is there any room for that?
Yes. So we're at a very early stage in this Northwest Forest Plan, and it is entirely possible that these plans would strengthen protections for our rivers and waterways and for salmon runs and for a number of other posts of public values, including recreation, which is, you know, critically important to a lot of Oregonians.
Thank you so much for that, Nick. I've got to go right now. I want to just ask people to please go to the Cascadia Wildlife, to go to that website. And there is a lot more on. This is a huge, huge story. This is for us here at Cascadia, far more significant, far lasting, more lasting significance than the recent auction that we endured. It occurs to me, Maurice, so-called elections are which is too weak to matter and it's too weird to fear. That's my conclusion. Too weak to matter, too weird to fear. On that note, this has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, November 11th, 2016.